this computer. All right, beautiful. And then, we'll chat to everyone once other people come on. We'll just get started. Okay, beautiful. So where I'm going to start, just so that this is what we do every time, is we're just going to do a little meditation just to come into our body and get, oh, I can see Charlotte's coming on. We'll just start with a little meditation just to get grounded as everyone's joining, and then we can chat once everyone comes onto the call. Okay, beautiful. So let's get started with, because we're going to be working on power today, let's get started with just some work to come into our bodies a little bit more. So beginning just with, if your feet aren't touching the ground, it's okay, but I'm going to begin with the feet. So just actually, if you can, feeling a connection between your feet and the floor. Wiggling your toes and just noticing, sometimes at the end of the day, you know, our mind is full with everything we've been doing. But actually seeing if we can start to bring the awareness down from the mind and into the body, and even bringing the awareness down from the mind right into the feet. Taking a couple of deep breaths, just feeling the connection between the bottom of your feet and the floor. And let's imagine your legs are like tree trunks. These beautiful, strong, solid pillars of energy that are holding you. And just feel the strength and the weight of your lower body when you imagine them like a tree trunk. Feeling solid, feeling connected down to your feet. Almost like when you have this really grounded lower body and then this beautiful free-flowing upper body that's like, you know, the leaves of the tree, but we're being supported by this solid grounding. Imagining down through the bottom of your feet are roots. These roots extend through the bottom of your feet and they go right down into the earth. Just feeling the sensation of pulling down and anchoring down. And using your awareness, just start to go down into the earth, imagining those roots going down, 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 right into the core of the earth. And just notice if you feel your lower body just sink a little more into the chair and feel more held and more supported with that vision. And start to breathe into your belly now, into your beautiful hips and your lower belly. Just feeling a connection to yourself and your body. Feeling yourself being fully here in this moment, in the here and now. Just become aware of any sensations in your body, you know, what's present now that you're coming into your body, whether there's tension or tightness or an energy. And just let that be there with you. Just breathe into it. And just dropping back the shoulders and letting the heart feel soft and open. while you have this solidness and connection through your legs and through your feet into the earth. Yeah, your upper body can just like peel open with that beautiful, soft, radiant heart. Let your throat even open. Just a few breaths into your heart space now, just feeling that beautiful, loving, feminine, radiant energy in your heart. If you feel to just soften through your neck and shoulders a little, even just rolling the head a little from side to side or moving your shoulders a little, even swaying your head, yeah, rolling your head in circles or half circles. And when you feel ready in your own time, you can open up your eyes. Here's my... How are you, Charlotte? I was just going to pop you up. How are you going? Because I didn't get to say hi to you.
Yeah, I'm just sorry. I was flailing around with a very slow computer trying to find the link.
Oh, good.
No, I'm good. I it was just interesting actually, because I think I watched your live yesterday and it reflects so much of what's really going on with me. And I've worked through over the years heaps on my mum, but interesting, like you, I'm now working through heaps on my dad and me not being able to be in my own like sexual energy and Eros energy with my dad. And that is basically how I am around men and just avoid.
Mm-hmm.
Like really indirect. So that's been really interesting. And then it's funny because about the rebirth, it's just dawned on me, like my grandfather is in and out of A&E at the moment in the UK, which is really sad, really, really, really sad. But at the other side, so that kind of feels like at some point he'll not be with us. And then my sister and her wife are having a baby in a few weeks. So I just feel like this whole death and rebirth thing and this whole different way, but it's really sad, but it's kind of you just got to work through it and feel it, and it's really what's best for him, so that's okay. But then on Nick's different note, which is exciting, as I went on my first ever Bumble date yesterday. So that was fun, and I was just trying to just be authentically me, and it was just fun. So
awesome.
Met someone with similar values, so we'll just see what happens really. And it's just nice to end, because I ended it with play without intent, without an outcome, and it's just been such a different experience.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right, it's exactly what I spoke about. It's this contrast of like endings and beginnings, and then the grief of letting go, but the excitement of what it, you're creating space for. And then yeah, someone's life ending, someone's life beginning. It's this interesting contrast, but it's really showing us a lot about just embracing these beautiful cycles of life and being able to move through them.
And I think the other thing that I've really noticed is that, well, I had another exciting thing last week because I sold my house in the UK. But
yeah, wow.
Really, yeah, so it's kind of really exciting because now I can find a house here. That's obviously really exciting, but what I really noticed, and I noticed even around dating on Bumble, is that when I try and force an outcome, things start to go wrong. Or when I start panicking, things start to go wrong. So when I panicked about my house and whether it was going to go through, the buyer tried to lower the price on me.
Wow.
But when I had my mum worrying. I was like, "Mummy, can you just not worry, please? Like, just let it go." And when I just surrendered to it, it was, things happened. And when I surrender to Bumble, things happen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been pretty
cute. Beautifully said. Oh, I love that. That's so exciting. I can't wait for our our next group coaching call, and we can dive into a lot of that more as well.
But no, and also happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. I had a beautiful day yesterday. Thank you.
Yeah, it's exciting. Oh,
happy birthday, Connie.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah. And you go for dinner.
I know. I was saying that to Kathy at the start. I'm like, I can't believe I got to go out for dinner. It was such a novelty. I was so excited.
Yeah.
I know. I've kind of got this like food paradox. I'm like, obviously a nutritionist, so I get a bit, I've only eaten either my own food or a very particular restaurant over the last few weeks, and I've got slight paranoia about going anywhere else, which is a bit, it's just making me laugh.
I can imagine that, but yeah, I guess maybe even bringing that play aspect to it would lighten it up a little and just be like, you know, this could just be a fun experience.
So true.
I totally ate gluten pizza with cheese and drank wine and all the things you're not supposed to do, but it was delicious.
As long as you enjoy it, that's amazing.
I know, exactly right. All right. I'm going to dive into our class and I'll just pause at different points and just check in if any of you want to share anything or ask questions, but I'm just going to get on into it. Where do I pin my video? Yeah, Zoom's done some updates and it's looking all different to me, but that's okay. All right. So this is like technically, apart from our bonus class, our final class in the series of our women's group coaching program. And I was just reflecting, and we'll talk about this more and when we have a group coaching call together, but just what incredible, you know, how incredible the journey has been for so many of you to watch the shifts and changes unfolding. It's just been, it's been so beautiful for me to watch. So coming into this class today, this is a really beautiful kind of wrap up to everything we've been doing, you know, and I planned all the classes intentionally in a certain order to build on each other. And so coming into this conversation today about power and feminine power, embodying our power, and then what that looks like to live from our power around communicating our truth, asking for what we want and need, speaking up, saying no, having boundaries, you know, all the work we've done in the lead up around building this relationship with yourself and a connection with your intuition and getting in tune with your feelings and your body, all of that is all part of living in your power. It's all the steps in the lead up to it. And so today is going to feel like a beautiful culmination of all of that. And where I want to open up with this is, and I open up with this in the workbook with you all, is about just this word power. And also, you know, what we learned and picked up about power growing up, because, power in itself can be a very charged word. Now, as we're working through this class, I just want you to become aware and notice what's coming up for you around it. And I think typically a lot of us have seen power through a masculine model, you know. Historically, our society has been led by men, and we've had a lot of men in positions of power, and we've seen power as being, we've seen the masculine version of power, of to some extent dominance or aggression or being better than someone else or force, you know, that's sometimes how many of us have experienced power. But there's this beautiful, I think there's this like redefining for us as women that, you know, we've had a big rise in feminine power, but we're still navigating how to feel completely comfortable and safe and like it's okay to be in our power as women. And what does that even look like? Because we don't want to do it the way men have done it. And we're finding our own definition of that. And so it's up to us all to find out our own definition of what being empowered and living in our power is going to look like. But let me read to you, I put this in the workbook, and let me just read to you my little kind of overview of what being in your power and being an empowered woman means to me. So when you're living as an empowered woman, you honor your truth, you stand up for yourself, and you set a standard for how you wish to be treated. An empowered woman is courageous, brave, honest, and heart-centered. An empowered woman implements boundaries, has difficult conversations, and says no when she needs to in order to honor herself and her needs. An empowered woman lives in alignment with her own inner wisdom and guidance, and she does the inner work to fill herself up from within. Living in your power is a form of self-love and self-care. It communicates your worth to others and to the universe. Being powerful connects you to the divine. Accessing your divine power is about tuning into your higher wisdom and the universe. A divinely empowered woman is guided by her intuition. She knows that she is supported and she trusts that she's always being led to what is right for her. And so this feminine definition of power is so much more about remembering who you really are as a woman and tapping into your authentic self and deeply loving and honoring yourself. And it's a lot less about, you know, maybe what we've learned about power throughout the years, like through the masculine model of it. And I see it much more as just claiming and like claiming our birthright to be the creator of our lives and to be free sovereign beings where we can create and design a life that we love, that nourishes us, that respects us, that honors us. And we create that all through how we respond, you know, to the different things that come our way, because we teach people how to treat us and we teach people what they can and can't get away with us. And we're constantly communicating to the universe what we believe we deserve, right? So in every time we're making different choices and we're putting in a boundary, we're saying yes or no, we are communicating something to a person in our life where we are, you know, in every moment we're having opportunities. Am I going to live in my power or am I going to, you know, let's say fear or my old programming stop me being my full divinely empowered self? So probably what you learned about being, you know, powerful, as again, we talked about this right in our very first class, has come from your upbringing, right? And it's come from your models of masculine and feminine growing up. And I want you to think about and reflect on what you learned about power, particularly for men and for women, through your childhood, teenage experiences. And think about who was the powerful one? Who held most of the power in your family dynamic? Was it your father or the masculine role model, or was it your mother and the feminine role model? For me, it was my father and the masculine. And I think I talked about this earlier on. I sometimes forget already what I've shared, but you know, he, in my opinion, my dad held all the power. And what I perceived from my mum was that she didn't hold much power at all. And I never grew up with an example of a woman, a role model of a woman feeling and being very empowered. I saw her run a lot of patterns of being a victim, of like life happens to me, of feeling like she didn't have freedom because my dad was in control. And I didn't ever watch her actually really stand up for herself. The way that I saw my mother sort of try to express her power was through getting angry or attacking my dad and tearing him down or trying to manipulate situations. I never saw that true, real, empowered feminine. So I think part of this is going to be just reflecting on what you learned about power, and particularly power for men and women, what the power dynamic looked like in your family, and even if there was power play. Because there was power play between my parents, and my father acted in a lot of ways that continually communicated he was the one that had the power. So, you know, and this is just our society in general. Women are still recovering from years and years and decades and centuries of oppression and suppression and denial and of being overpowered by men. And at times we have, you know, if you look through all of your life experience, you might have some imprinting in there around feeling less powerful than a man, feeling smaller in comparison to a man, feeling less confident, less dominant, less assertive, less safe to fully express yourself. So this is all stuff that often we have to become aware of when we want to come more into our power, because we're going to bump up against it. And coming, like living in our power is never about, it's never actually really about anyone else. It's all about how we want to feel in ourselves and what allows us to feel confident and free and authentic and deeply self-honoring and self-loving, right? And it's interesting. I was having a conversation with a woman the other day who I had a one-on-one with, who's part of my mastermind. But I've heard this story from women so much, you know, this patterning that a lot of us have been given, that women should be polite and sweet and shouldn't make too much noise, should be compliant, should be you know, all these pretty little things and really not heard sometimes, right? Shouldn't have strong opinions, shouldn't, whatever the stories are, but a lot of it is imprinted within us. And, you know, sometimes we have to really unravel that, and that can be really, really scary. So we might have to look at, as you're beginning to uncover this, and I think in the workbook I get you looking at, the key things to kind of explore here are what does living in your power mean to you and feel like to you? What are some of your belief systems about a woman being powerful or empowered based on what you learned growing up? And what are your fears about coming into more of your power? So for me, for example, I've had several that I've been working on. I'll just give you examples to help you maybe make reference points within your own mind of your own situation. But, you know, for me, at times I've had fear of conflict with other people, particularly men, if I'm looking at my relationship to the masculine, fear of creating conflict, out of almost fear of what would happen if I upset or angered a man. Would he leave me? Would he tell me that I was crazy? Would he yell at me? Would he become physically aggressive? Right? These are a lot of the fears that are programmed into us as women. We're also creating conflict, say, in friendships. Will that friend pull away from me? Will that friend bitch about me behind my back? Will that friend or that person no longer want to have a connection with me? And so sometimes we fear losing the love and connection of others. And sometimes we're afraid if I become my full empowered self, I might lose people, or people might not like it. I might upset them, or they might, yeah, abandon me. Another place that we get afraid of our own power is actually being afraid to fully shine. And this is one that I'm currently navigating, this fear of shining bright and being in the full magnificence of who we are. Sometimes that can be, we've talked about this, I think, in one of our first calls. Sometimes this can be because we're afraid of the attention we're going to attract. We might actually feel afraid and unsafe to have so much energy and attention coming at us. I even felt that being a young woman, sometimes not wanting male attention, and I would often dim myself down and make myself look more dull and plain so that I wouldn't attract that attention because it didn't feel safe to me. Or even, you know, if we become really bright and powerful, will other people be envy of us? Will that mean, you know, more success, more opportunity, more money? And are we afraid of that expansion? There can be a lot around that. And let me see if there's any others. They were my main kind of examples. The other one, actually, this is what sort of sparked my life. I was navigating this around my living space because I had a lot of realizations that I'm afraid to take up space around the masculine. So I got really good at taking up space in my work, taking up space in my own apartment. But now that my boyfriend's been living here, I had noticed myself making myself very small and very quiet again. So I would, you know, he's very free just to be himself, but I would often be like, oh, I don't want to creak the floorboards and wake him up, or I'm going to go do my morning routine out the back so I don't disturb him. And I could just feel my energy shrinking and becoming small, like a little mouse. And I recognized, wow, I have a fear about taking up space. And am I allowed to take up as much space or more space than a man? Now, not just any man, not just like a man, whoever that is, but like my partner. Like, what happens if I actually become brighter and bigger and more powerful or take up more space than him? And there's some dialogue in there that's wrong. A woman can't do that. So it's just interesting when you bump up against this stuff in yourself and you see the places that the things within yourself that are blocking you feeling, you know, fully empowered. And we'll talk, you know, in a moment kind of how to work through this, but this is all ultimately about unraveling these particular stories and pieces of program that we have around our power. And you know, look, being powerful for each of us as women is going to look different. We're all going to have a different definition of that, but I just think it's, you know, important to explore that within yourself. So You know, when I work with people on accessing different parts of themselves, you know, sometimes I'm like, you know, tap into your higher self, or for example, for this class, tap into your divinely empowered feminine self. And so we can always be shifting states of being. You know, sometimes we might be, it's not that we're becoming a different version of ourselves, but we can tap into different energetic states. And tapping into your divinely empowered feminine self is a really beautiful emotional and energetic state to tap into that you actually can access once you understand what that state looks and feels like within you. Being powerful is not actually, like I've said, about, you know, really needing to change anything outside of you. It's shifts in who you're being, in how you're feeling, and how you're speaking to yourself, in your perception of yourself, and in how you're holding yourself as well. So I want you to think and see if you can think about the last time, or any time that comes to mind, that you remember feeling either powerful or empowered. We'll just take a moment just to feel into it and see if you can bring a time to mind where you remember feeling powerful or empowered. And as you're imagining that situation, if you, you know, it might take you some time to find it, and you can always revisit this if you need a bit more time to access it. But what's interesting, if you start to bring that situation to mind, you'll notice there's a certain feeling that comes with it. And I want you to start to feel into, what does being empowered or feeling powerful actually feel like in your body as an energetic or emotional kind of state? How do you hold yourself? Is there a different way that you hold your body when you feel powerful or empowered? Is there a different expression on your face? Is there a different way you breathe? Are there different thoughts that go through your mind, like different self-talk? And if you were just to tune into your body for a minute and actually just like ask your body to show you, where is your own personal power center in your body? Like, where do you hold your power in your body? I mean, it can be everywhere, but sometimes there's like there's a particular place. And for me, I'm feeling it right now in my belly, kind of solar plexus, so above my belly button. So just keep drawing on that time you remember feeling powerful or empowered. How it feels like in your body, how you hold your body. And where that energy is the strongest in your body. You know, for me, I notice often qualities of, I feel quite a certainty and a strength and a solidness that's not hard, but it's almost like there's this like core strong energy running through me that just makes me feel very centered and unwavering and clear and grounded and embodied. And as you begin to feel into the way you're really holding this energy in your body, like I said, mine's right in the center of my belly. Just notice what this energy feels like. Is it a ball of energy? Is it, a moving, swirling sort of sensation? Is it taking up a lot of space, or is it quite kind of localized and intense as a sensation? Is it the size of a grape or a tennis ball or your hand or a watermelon? How big is it? What color is it? Does it stay still? Does it move? Is it see-through or is it solid? And if this energy had a voice, what would it say to you? So just feel that power center, that power energy in your body. And just keep breathing it in and taking the shape and holding yourself in the way that this divinely empowered woman holds herself. Not any of these old forms of power, but a power of just knowing who she is, knowing her worth, her value, knowing what she deserves and wants to receive. Trusting her ability to speak up and ask for what she wants, communicate her truth. You know, walking through the world with the belief and the feeling, I deserve to be here. I can take up space. I deserve to receive just as much as anybody else. I deserve to get all of my needs met. I'm worthy of everything that I desire because I'm a child of the universe. I am guided. I am intuitive. I am wise. While we've got that woman, I want you to imagine a situation where you've been finding it hard to kind of show up in your power lately. Where you're feeling your energies become small, or you're not using your voice, or you're questioning yourself, or your confidence isn't quite there. Just bring to mind that situation. And imagine now stepping into that situation with this connection to your power center as this beautifully divine empowered woman. And just spend a few moments in your imagination imagining how you would show up differently if you were fully in your power. What it would look like to move through this situation, what you'd be saying, how you'd be acting, what your energy would be like, and what would be different. Again, noticing how you would be talking to yourself in this situation. Yeah, noticing how you show up differently or handle it differently. Noticing how people respond to you in this situation as you show up with this beautiful sense of wholeness and power within yourself. And maybe how the situation could transform as a result. Take a few more moments just to breathe into that and whatever you're seeing or noticing and feeling. And if either of you would like to share, it may be beautiful to hear if anything has come up since we've been just talking about this initial part about power and what we learn about power and even or what you noticed if you were able to bring an empowered version of yourself to a situation where you haven't been feeling that way. Do either of you have anything you might like to share from that?
I can share. It's funny because when he was talking about what fears are coming up to me about coming into my power, I couldn't really think of anything. But when I changed the word power with like authenticity.
Ooh, okay.
It was, yeah, really. And I think exactly, I really like that interpretation that you have about power is about being your true authentic self, which and coming into that, which I think so many people run away from. They don't live their life like that. I realize, I don't know how much I've shared about it, but there was a time weekend last year where I felt like I lost my identity and I got it back in a weekend because I realized who I was being was really my kind of conditioned self rather than the true version of me that was born. So, but that's, you can recognize it and you don't necessarily live it every day. So I really feel that my journey is really going into my authentic self and trying to find my true authentic voice. And it's amazing when you do feel like that empowered feeling, how open and like with me, my heart just opens, my energy just flows. And amazing, just really using that as a radar to understand where you're being powerful and where you're not.
Beautiful. That's such a nice reframe because you're right. For some, it's all about finding whatever word resonates with you, and power may not be quite the word, but authenticity feels like a beautiful word for that, and feels like a beautiful guiding sort of intention and a check-in. You know, am I being my conditioned self or my authentic self in this moment?
And I just think the word power has been so warped by the mask, especially like
it has, yeah,
negative thing. So the area that came up with me about where I'm not in my power is all around my Instagram, so I'm so frozen around it. And but it's really about me tapping and finding the space to tap into that true authentic self that is me, and leading from that. I really like the analogy of finding out when you did feel powerful and then using that for other situations.
That's actually helped me a lot with different elements of my work, where say for example if I go to do an Instagram live and I notice my conditioned self that's afraid to be seen, and she comes in and says no, I don't want to, but if I actually then just breathe into my empowered self or my authentic self, the part of me that knows it's my purpose to teach this work and that has people ready to listen and I have something to say. It's almost like if I can just breathe into her energy, then I'm like, okay, cool. Of course we're going to do a live because that's what she would do. My old conditioned self shies away from that because she's afraid. But when I really tap into the different part of me, sharing in that way is the most natural and beautiful extension of her. So sometimes it's just, that little energy shift then guides new actions.
Yeah, that's lovely. And I do really feel like this whole, well, for me anyway, I think for a number of people, this whole COVID lockdown has really enabled people to really discover who their authentic self is. And especially all the stuff that's happening on whatever media that you follow is teaching you to be your authentic self and Radish call out for what you believe in.
Mm. Yep, beautifully said, 100%. And that's what our platforms are there for, to help us do that. Mm. Yeah, thank you. Any reflections for you, Kathy?
I also agree with you guys said about authenticity. I feel like when I'm feel powerful, I feel like I'm more vulnerable. I'm not afraid of showing my weakness in front of the people. But like at the same time, I feel like this is usually based on I already achieved something. So I have that foundation and confidence in my mind. It's only when I'm confident that I'm vulnerable and more and then don't afraid of sharing my weakness in front of the people. But if I'm confused of the situation, I feel like I didn't know much about what I'm doing and I don't feel like I'm doing well, then I would just be really silent. And I just feel like I'm not powerful enough in that case.
And that's exactly like what I said before, that you've got two different energies you can tap into, that when you sort of maybe go up into your head and you're questioning yourself and you're feeling confused, that makes your energy feel small and you just want to go quiet and isolate. But when you tap into your feeling of confidence, that gives you the foundation to share yourself and not be as afraid of judgment or what people say. Mm-hmm. And I guess the key here is to be able to find your confidence, not just based on what you achieve, but to find within regardless.
I think my confidence sometimes based on the masculine achievements, like the grades and the work I've done, but like I'm trying also to figure out a way to just be confident whenever the situation is.
Beautiful. And so like what we were doing there when I was getting you to imagine that place where you felt powerful, you could imagine a place where you last remember feeling confident. Okay, when I'm confident, how do I hold myself? How do I breathe? How do I think? How do I speak to myself? And so then you can actually draw on that to help you feel that feeling of confidence in any moment.
I just feel like I'm more talkable when I'm confident and powerful. And then when I'm not powerful, especially when I have a conflict with someone, I just couldn't get what they mean, or I'm just not happy with where I am. I just want to cry sometimes. I just don't know how to communicate that without being too aggressive and direct, without like being too oppositive, without like make people feel uncomfortable. Yeah, I think that's probably also about the way to communicate with others. Like, how do we let others know how we should be treated?
I'm actually going to talk about that. I've got some notes on that. And just hang on. I'm going to take my hot water bottle off me because it's making me sweat. I'm going to talk about that because it's all about actually bringing yourself into the right space before you express yourself. That's kind of what our work is. So we'll talk about that, is how do we actually support ourselves to come into the right space so we can express what we're really wanting to say versus when we're, say, feeling emotional or overwhelmed. We can't communicate clearly, can we? Because we're kind of everything's everywhere. So we'll talk about that. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. I bring myself back to where's not in my video. Okay. Let me get my lighting popping back in. It's gone a little bit dim in here, but that's all right. All right. Am I looking good? Okay. Thanks, ladies, for those shares. That's beautiful. I love this sort of distinction around bringing in the word authenticity. I think that's a really nice. Yeah, I think that can feel really clarifying for people if power is too charged of a word. So one of the places we can begin with kind of feeling like, I mean, I'm going to use the word power because that's what we are kind of talking about, but just filter this through the lens of how it makes sense to you and what feels good to you. But something I've noticed a lot is that there's ways we can give our power away without realizing. And what that means is we're putting our power in things outside of us that make us feel like these things control us and actually have power over us. And so, you know, this is just what we were talking about, but to actually be able to know and notice in your body and identify what it looks and feels like when you're not feeling powerful or, say, authentic in that moment, and maybe where you've given your power away to something outside of you. So for me, it's like, this is actually exactly what you were saying. So I know I'm not fully being in my power, and I've got my power and things outside of me when I can't be my authentic self. So when I'm modifying and toning down and adjusting my actions, my expression, me being my free self, how I would just normally feel to be, because I've got power in what that person thinks about me, or I've got power in whether someone thinks I'm being too spiritual and woo-woo, or I've got power in wanting someone to love and approve of me. And so every time we are finding ourselves, yeah, modify, adjust, shrink, change, the fullness of who we feel to be, we know that we have taken a bit of our personal power and put it in something outside of us, and we're allowing that thing or that person or that situation to control who we are being. Now, we never want to be hard on ourselves for this, because society's kind of programmed us to be like this. Like, we've literally been programmed from a young age, like, this is what it looks like to be a good girl. This is what it looks like to not be a good girl. Here's social media. You get likes when you do things that people like, and then you don't get likes when you do things that people don't like. You know, we are literally so programmed around this. And so there's a lot for us to navigate when we want to start to step into this place of freedom in ourselves and feel fully empowered to be our authentic self. But to actually identify physically, if it's easiest for you to find it through a feeling, or maybe you notice it through a way that you act. But for me, it's where I feel, yeah, I feel small. I feel like my energy has shrunk. I feel weak in that, like I just sort of feel wobbly in my energy. And it also feels like for me to feel happy, I need something outside of me to change. So I'm needing my partner's validation, or I'm needing my community to say, I love that latest podcast. Or I'm needing, you know, maybe you need your boss to praise you and say you did a great job. Or maybe you need some sales to prove to you that your program or your offering is valuable, whatever it is. So I always know when I'm not feeling a certain feeling within myself, and I'm wanting to get that externally, that's also an indication to me I'm not in my full, powerful, sovereign, whole, authentic self, right? And so it's just great to be able to identify this as a starting point. You know, this is also where obviously people pleasing comes into. People pleasing is a massive pattern we run of putting our power in other people, and we actually choose to make pleasing them more important than honoring ourselves. So people pleasing kind of is like saying yes to someone else, but actually saying no to ourselves in the process. And again, a lot of us have had that programmed into us. Like, I was taught by my mom, be a martyr, do everything for everyone and don't worry about yourself. So, and that's actually a bit of a model of the feminine. A lot of feminine beings do run that pattern. But when you really understand what that is about, then in that moment, you're almost choosing to please someone else rather than honoring yourself. Then you're like, whoa, that's really not a self-loving practice for me. And the hard part about it is taking your power out of these things might at times mean disappointing people, missing out on someone's praise of you, ruffling feathers, polarizing people, having some people agree with you and some people not, disappointing someone, letting someone down, not being available if someone needs you perhaps. And, you know, there's little places we might, if we consciously want to, you know, there's nothing wrong at times being like, oh, you know what, I'm really tired, but my friend needs me, so I'm going to go do something for them. This isn't about being selfish and being arrogant and all those things, but it's really identifying the places that we make, we give little bits of our power away and we shrink ourselves in the process. And it's also, you know, the other places we give our power away is kind of when we, without realizing, play a little bit of a victim role in life. And I know victim is a bit of a triggering word, but you know, this even plays out when we do things like like for me actually, I can't be fully free in expressing myself because my partner's here all the time now. Or I can't go and tell my partner how I'm feeling because I can tell he's distracted and he's probably not going to be able to understand what I'm going through. Or it's like when we put a limit on ourselves, I can't do this because I can't express this to my boss because that's going to show weakness, for example. Or I can't express my truth to this person because I'm going to trigger them and hurt their feelings. And so we, without realizing, put these limitations and restrictions on ourselves that us in ourselves are disowning our own power and, you know, as Charlotte so beautifully said, resorting to being our conditioned self rather than being our free, bold, authentic self. And once again, society doesn't praise you being this free, spirited, authentic self, you know. So there might be an adjustment for people in your life if you do start to step more into your power, for people to kind of adjust to the new you that you're being. We'll talk a little bit about that when we talk about, you know, speaking up and expressing your truth. And so what I've sort of what I've begun practicing is my process of what I'm sort of calling reclaiming my power, or you could say coming back into your authentic self if that language works for you better. And so first of all, notice and identify whatever the indicator is, either in my body, in my emotions, or in what I've manifested around me, to show me that I haven't honored myself or haven't been my authentic self or haven't been in my power in that situation. So like I said, for me, I get very visceral, clear feelings in my body of feeling constricted and small and not free and a little bit suffocated and a little bit resentful or angry sometimes as well. They can be some indicators for me. Or to Kathy's point, it could be, you know, emotion. A lot of emotion comes up. You feel overwhelmed. You feel like you're questioning yourself. You know, you'll have these key things that are the way your body communicates to you and tells you, hang on a second, you're not honoring yourself here. You're not in your power. You haven't got your boundary in place. You're not speaking up, whatever it is. And I had this situation in my apartment for a while because I was navigating this big change of living with Jason, and couldn't understand why I was feeling so emotional and also feeling very small and constantly getting angry at him. And it was difficult to kind of exactly pinpoint and resolve what it was, you know, that was causing that. But I began to realize it was, again, all related to me and the places that I was not letting myself be my full, free self in this living situation. And I was making excuses and saying, oh, I can't be like this because he's here. And I can't, just jump on the phone with my friend or just go live on Instagram or do whatever I want to do because he's here. And so I was resenting him, getting angry at him. But what was all really just happening was I wasn't fully in my power in our living dynamic. And, you know, this was what was really illuminated to me as part of my patterning is, you know, I can shine in my feminine pretty well most of the time, but it's when it's in relationship to a masculine whose opinion I value, who I love, who I admire, then it's actually much harder. And I didn't even recognize that about myself until we lived together, that my feminine doesn't feel as safe being bright and radiant and taking up space and being seen and heard when she's being witnessed by a masculine whose opinion, you know, and whose opinion she values and whose love she wants. And so I recognized how much power I had in him. And that's what I was talking about sort of in the live has been this journey of reclaiming my power from that so I can come into a very equal, balanced, respectful, self-honoring relationship, not one where I have to be a dimmer version of myself, which is not something he was putting on me. I was putting that on me. So when we notice this stuff in any situation, say you do it, you know, you're dating someone new and suddenly you've got all this power in them and you feel like you can't be your free self because you want them to like you, or, you know, Kathy, you're in a work situation and you have things you want to say and ways you want to be, but you feel you can't be that because you don't want to create a reaction. So we notice that, right? And then we need to pause and inquire a little bit deeper into ourselves around what's going on there and actually ask yourself, okay, what's feeling off for me? Where am I out of alignment with my authentic self? If I was being my authentic self, what would I be doing instead? What does being my authentic self look like, right? So we can kind of see where we're not being that. Where do I feel like I'm not honoring myself, not respecting myself? Where do I not feel honored by someone else? Where do I not feel like I'm truly being seen and heard? Where am I denying my own desires? Where am I denying what I want? This came up in our conversations too, because what I actually want is for us to move to a bigger space, a bigger apartment. And I felt like that would allow me more freedom, right? But I wasn't speaking up to him about that because I already kind of knew he was pretty happy here and didn't feel the need to move. And so part of what was causing me to feel all of these emotions was that I was trying to push away my desire. And I was too afraid to speak up about my desire out of knowing how he would react. And this is just so interesting because I never really, like, sometimes you get in a situation and you're like, whoa, look at all these patterns I'm running of how I give away my power. But, you know, it's just really powerful to see it. And so when you see it, you might need to move through a little bit of an inner process around how you recalibrate your energy then. You know, and for me, it's so many of the things we've talked about through this course. Once you know yourself well enough and you know what nourishes you, what brings you joy, what makes you come alive, what makes you feel free, what makes you feel pleasure, you draw on those practices to help bring you back to you again. So you might need to process some emotion. You might need to have a dance. I find when I dance, it brings me back to me. You know, I take you through little exercises in the workbook that get you exploring the things that help you tap into that, as I call it, your divinely empowered feminine self, but you could call it your authentic self, whatever language you want. What really makes you feel like her? Is it even a certain outfit, a way of doing your hair, a certain song, you know, you've got these little things, right, that bring you back to you. Sometimes it's little things like me just getting out my crystals or reading a self-help book, or like they bring me back to me. And so you might need to do a little recalibration to find yourself again. And then ask yourself, yeah, okay, what am I needing to do here if I was to be coming back to my authentic self, honoring myself, showing up differently? What is the change I need to make? This begins with taking 100% responsibility for the fact that no one is, like, we might feel like people are controlling us. We might feel like all these circumstances have power over us, but we need to take responsibility for the place that we have disowned our own power, the places that we have started to believe we don't have power, that we can't be free, that we can't be ourselves. So we own that. And then we say, okay, what do I need to change here? How do I want to show up in a new way? Do I need to have a courageous conversation? Do I need to put in a boundary because I'm not being, my time and energy isn't being respected? Do I need to say no? Do I need to let something go? Do I need to ask for support? Do I need to express how I'm feeling? And moving forward in this situation, what do I want to start to do differently that would be more honoring of me, right? And would allow me to stay more connected to my authentic self in this situation rather than defaulting. And I've already started to implement a lot of changes around how things are unfolding in the apartment now that I've realized this. And even as I just actually started just asking that part of myself. So as I tapped into that higher part of me or your authentic self, I actually asked her, I'm like, okay, what are the changes I need to make here? Show me. They're not always easy to make, but it's again, like I was saying, it's like that coming back to that version of yourself and letting her guide your actions and choices now is a big part of the way that we reclaim our power. So talking about it from a, you know, having courageous conversations kind of standpoint, which is, I know what a lot of you are kind of working on, the speaking of your truth part. What I have found is really important for us as women with communication is that we do what we can. It's not always easy, But we do what we can to process as much of the emotion that we're feeling first before we attempt to step into a conversation that's really important, where we want to express our truth, ask for something we need, let someone know where we're at. And although I've been practicing this a lot in the container of relationship, like in a romantic relationship, this flows into everything. This is work relationships, this is with your family, this is with your colleagues, this is everything. But I've learned it a lot through romantic relationships that it's very difficult for people to fully feel and hear you in your truth when you're really emotionally charged. It kind of dilutes it. And as well, like I find when I'm really emotional, I don't actually feel really in my power. Now, this is where authenticity kind of like comes in, because that emotion for you in that moment is probably a really authentic expression of how you're feeling, which is fine. Like, am I moving for you all?
Yes.
Okay. That was crazy. I've never had that happen before. All right. Okay. I'm just going to keep going. If anyone's watching the replay, they can... Oh, no, it's happened again. Oh, okay. Let's see if I can minimize that and keep my notes to the side so that I don't lose you. Okay. Fingers crossed. I'm moving. Yeah, I'm moving. Okay. All right. So this is sort of what I've had. So what I've often worked through around communication is I will... Once you work through the emotion, which might just be feeling it, journaling about it, moving through it, crying through it, or even just asking yourself, like, what am I feeling? What emotion's coming up for me right now? Then you might be able to just sit with yourself and be like, okay, what is it that I'm actually really needing and wanting to communicate? Like, what is, because I find sometimes if there's a lot of emotion there, I just want to like ramble and just have all this emotion come out versus getting really, really clear in myself. What is it that I'm needing? You know, we've worked with these questions early on. What am I feeling and what am I needing? And really clarifying in yourself, is it actually something I'm needing from someone outside of me? Is it something that I'm needing to tell them? Am I just wanting to be heard? Am I just wanting to be acknowledged for what I'm feeling? Is it that someone's done something that's upset me? Is it that there's something that I'm needing that's not being provided? I think it's so important before we step into those conversations that we take a little bit of time to like, we've kind of got to take responsibility for our stuff, right? And actually really process what it is about for us. And the clearer, I know we can't always get it perfectly clear, but the clearer we can get it in ourselves, the more effective that conversation will be when we come to have it. And it's never about pretending that you don't feel anything or trying to get rid of the emotion. And it is about leading with how you feel. You know, I'm feeling this, I'm feeling, I've got some sadness coming up, or I'm feeling unheard, or I'm feeling unsupported, or I'm feeling left out, or I'm feeling like we haven't had much quality time lately, or whatever it is. You're allowed to kind of reveal how you're feeling without all the emotional charge there. And being able to also express, you know, this is what I would really love, or this is what I'm needing, or this is what I feel is missing for me, or this is what would really help me. And when we can have that conscious conversation of like, just letting people know, here's how I'm feeling and here's what I'm needing, it gives them a lot more to work with, to be able to fully know where we're at and to know what we need, and they can let you know if they can give that to you, right? So this authentic communication, like I imagine it as like, it is just, imagine you're just putting a voice to what's inside of you, to your heart's truth. Not the, you know, full messy kind of emotional part that we often as women feel, but the part below that where you're like, here's my real deep truth of what's going on for me in this moment and what I'm needing. And particularly in a romantic relationship, and actually I think in most relationships too, keeping it as much about you as possible. So you know, I know I can get a little bit into you did this and you're not doing this for me and you've upset me, versus the ownership of like, okay, I got a little bit triggered. I'm feeling a bit left out, or I'm feeling unheard, or I'm feeling ignored, or I'm feeling unsupported. And what I would really need from you in this situation to help me with this or to help me resolve this is X, Y, Z. And I found when we can have conversations like that, yeah, it gives people a beautiful insight into where we're at and allows them to meet our needs. And, you know, so much of this is the beautiful self-work and self-awareness of us first knowing what's going on inside of us before we bring it to other people. The thing I found about these types of conversations is you don't always get the reaction or response that you want, and you may not necessarily get, if you're wanting a certain outcome, if you're wanting something from someone, you may not always get it because you can't control how someone's going to respond. But there's so much freedom in being able to just put words to what your truth is in any situation. Even like, you know, even like those true, honest conversations in like a friendship where someone's asked you to do something or to spend time with them or to come and do something with them, and then you realize, you know what, I'm tired or I don't want to or I feel burdened. Or even actually my girlfriends used to often ask me to come out drinking and stuff, and it wasn't something I wanted to do anymore. And I had to have very real, courageous conversations of like, you know what, I so appreciate you inviting me, but I actually really want to dedicate this weekend to my self-care, or I'm at the moment I'm focusing on not drinking so much, or you know what, I don't really want to go out to dinner and drinks, but I'd love to have a cup of tea with you during the day sometime. And not all of my friends took that very well, but that kind of weeded out the friends that weren't my true friends. And then the people that really respected me in that became, we started to set a foundation in our friendship where we were all free to be ourselves. That someone could say to me, you know, sorry, you know what, I'm going to cancel our plans, I need some self-care. And you set the foundation then of relationships where people can speak their truth and not be judged for it. So yeah, I found that's a way that I've really navigated it. So let's just open up, because I know particularly you, Kathy, but maybe also you, Charlotte, as well. There's places this might be playing out. So how does that feel for you around, yeah, what further support might you be needing with expressing your truth and communicating and asking for what you want and need in different situations? Whoever, was it you, Kathy, that wanted to share on
the
video?
Oh yeah, sure. So I think my concern and also confusion is, firstly, I don't want to create much reaction among people, because since my first share with my manager, and it creates a reaction that I don't want to receive anymore, because I feel like too much people paying attention to me, and they kind of think the support I need is more like a social aspect. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's really about the work I'm doing. And I just feel like what I want to ask will not be received. And I can also understand that they probably couldn't do much about it either. Mm-hmm. Because there's always a work that needs people to be done, and even it's a work that no one wants to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this just makes me feel really hard. But I can also feel like the people around me really wants to help me, but like at the same time, they just couldn't find a way. Like either because I don't communicate well enough, or just it's just no way to figure it out. So now I'm just feeling like instead of the usual way I'm doing things is to escape the situation, to just run, to just leave somewhere. I think instead, I want to figure something out for myself. Like, I think recently I'm into the world of leadership. I heard people say leadership is like you want to do something and you could just like take action and also work out a plan to do it. Mm-hmm. So right now I really want to like, I know something is missing in my team. I feel something is weird, but I still couldn't figure out or like plan out like a way to let them know how we should do it. So that's something really confused me. Yeah, so I don't know.
You know what's interesting about what you said, but I was just thinking, yeah, because there's two things we can do in some situations, like say in a romantic relationship, it works really well to constantly be communicating and being like, here's what I'm feeling, here's what I'm needing, so your partner always knows. And as you said, sometimes in work situations, there's a lot of restrictions and limitations and reason why things can't happen and you can't always get what you want, all that type of stuff. So it's almost like we have two options. That we can either be like, okay, I'm just going to keep expressing and telling them and asking them, which you sort of started to do that. And you're like, maybe it's not going to be quite received the way that I want. Or I can actually come into my power by taking more responsibility for this within myself.
I feel like he's frozen again.
Oh, have I? Yeah, Kathy, you're frozen on me. Have I frozen?
Not frozen on me.
No? Kathy, have I frozen on you?
Kathy's frozen on me.
Kathy's frozen on me. What's going on today? Kathy, can you hear me? Maybe she'll end up unfreezing. I'll come back to you, Kathy. We'll finish this conversation when you unfreeze, which will hopefully happen soon. I can't tell if it's a, yeah, maybe it's not a Zoom problem. Maybe it's my computer problem.
Weird.
Okay. Charlotte, is there anything you want to share on that? And I'll come back to Kathy once.
What really resonates is I think my whole life in my past around men, I have been completely like giving away my power and I'm not my authentic self. A shadow human being, and I'll give them anything in a way to make them like me and not myself.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
That's all right, Kathy. We'll come back to you in one second.
Yeah.
So I think my job for me is really just stepping into my true authentic self whilst being in a relationship, and understanding whether and just making sure I'm speaking my truth, I'm speaking my boundaries, I'm not just agreeing with someone for getting them to like me, and just I'm just resonating as myself really. So much, and I think it's in the past, but I think I'm getting a lot better at it, and I really like the whole feeling, how are you feeling? I still find it a constant, well, a bit of a battle, but I think it's just the first thing is awareness, and when you can be aware, it's really helpful.
Yeah, the awareness, beautiful, of in each moment noticing, okay, is what's driving how I'm, say, you know, you're responding to something or you're agreeing to something or you're doing something. Okay, is what's driving this? Is this the part of me that's trying to be nice and get them to like me? Or is this my true self and what I truly feel? And initially, there's probably going to be a little bit of like, a little bit of a challenge to figure that out. Sometimes it gets a little bit blurry and sometimes you actually don't know until you follow whatever the feeling is and you take that course of action, then you look back and you're like, oh my gosh, that was so just me trying to get them to like me. But you got to be gentle as you figure it out. But I think now that you've identified that's a core pattern, and I completely relate to that one, you can keep drawing on that more authentic energy who's, you know, the energy of that woman that I'm sensing, this is part of what I've had to tap into, is like she wants a man to love her for all of her and who she really is, even when she's not being easy, even when she's being difficult, even when she's disagreeing, even when she's doing something that maybe he's not going to like that much. And the right man will still love that because it'll earn his respect and he will come to know all the variations of you. Because I found I would be, you know, a certain way and get their love, and then I'd be constantly afraid then to let them see who I really was, because that's not who they fell in love with, right? So you almost want to,
also there's, I think I'm now going, what I really want is the connection. So therefore, if there's a connection there, it's just refining around the edges. So kind of, I used to be so scared of exactly that, someone not loving me anymore, me having no one. So I never used to get in, I never used to speak my truth. And I also never really was very good because I'd never felt my feelings. I was also never really good at expressing my true authentic feelings until it was kind of like at that make or break stage where like 2 weeks after they happened.
Yeah.
And it out in a splat when it's 10 out of 10 emotions, it's been built up for weeks.
Yeah.
So I really like the way that like just saying, like, this is how I'm feeling right now. This is my, this is what I've taken from you saying that.
Yeah. And it's so nice when we can take, it's hard to do in relationships, but when we can take it out of anything even to do with the other person, but it's just this sort of constant sort of expression and revealing of whatever, you know, the truth is for us in that moment of like, I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that. And it can actually feel quite light for a person to receive that. So I find the bottled up emotion is so heavy. And Jason often says to me, it's just really draining to hold you in that when you've got this volcanic eruption of emotion versus just these little, you know, moments of just constantly expressing and revealing that are actually very light and easy to receive by someone.
Yeah, and I don't think also on that, I never used to say, for example, when I like someone, ever. Really being, like, if we look at it now, I was completely giving away my power around the situation.
That's such an interesting one, yeah.
I just was too scared to admit it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't tell a single person I was doing anything.
Yeah. Did it bring up a feeling of vulnerability?
I think so, and failure.
Failure.
I think if something didn't work. And I think the thing, though, is shame around men and being in a relationship and me liking someone. It was more probably that, the deep, pretty young child. It's shameful that you like someone.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Can you reframe that?
Oh, I think I have. I've literally, that's been therapy over the last 2 or 3 weeks with me really putting my dad in front of me and then making me realize, my dad is amazing, but it's making him me realize like this, he just stopped the energy flow in myself. So I kind of was put in this box in order to do anything I could to kind of help him feel safe as a parent. Box, so I wouldn't go and attract anyone else and stay this calm, stable person rather than the kind of wild self like I am. You can tell by my hair. but I just, I think I just shoved myself. So therefore, whenever also a man came to me, I used to just freeze. I think then you get scared because you get conditioned by the situation happening so many times. You just get scared of admitting that you like someone because you don't ever believe that it's going to work out. So I think reframing it by practicing really who I am in front of my dad is actually a situation. And
yeah.
So energy of me, feeling that authentic, vibrant energy that is the true version of me that was born.
Yeah.
And going to be that person.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more that you come into full ownership of her, the more happy and free you'll feel to be her, regardless of how other people receive it. And
yeah.
And it's almost good if you do reveal your authentic self and then that weeds out someone because they have a negative reaction, then you're like, great, well, at least I know now you're not, you know. And so I'm not going to, it's actually you avoid the risk of the heartbreak, because the more that you show yourself in the early days and let them see that, it's less like, oh, I'm investing all of this stuff into this person and I could potentially fail. I don't know, it just kind of, yeah, I think it creates that clarity early on.
And it means also your light's probably on more because you're actually being your authentic self rather than trying to push yourself in a box. And then you push yourself in a box and then you're trying to light someone and then you get rejected being yourself.
Yeah, well, you get rejected because you're rejecting yourself, yeah.
So it's interesting. One thing that I do have, and I was thinking about it in the context of you following your desire for a bigger house. So then I was thinking, because sometimes I often think that sometimes things show up and actually really what we want is really not the answer sometimes, because we want to change the way that, in the context of you, and I'm not being harsh, I'm just using you. But in a way, it's around, instead of getting a bigger house, it's reframing the way that you're being in your smaller house around.
Exactly.
like sometimes I find, obviously I think that's probably where you need to journal and channel or do whatever to find out where that, because it's a very fine balance between one or the other.
Yes, exactly. And that was the realizations that I've come to as well. 100%. And that almost links into what I was sort of saying to Kathy too before you got disconnected, that, you know, one of the options you'd said was I could leave the job. Another option is, you know, I could be speaking up and having these conversations, or I can look at who am I being in this environment and really come into my power and show up as who I want to be. And then that's actually probably the more powerful way to do it, right?
As we often job example, you then go and find the same old thing at the next job you go.
Exactly.
But no, it's all been, this whole course has been so powerful in learning how to deal with all these different, putting them back into practice and really grounding in your body. So I'm trying to really, with the that vibrational feeling, I'm trying to feel it, but going back into the pleasure practice, get it ingrained in my energetics of my body.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why all of this self-connection work we've done is just the foundation, because the more tuned in and connected and aware you are, you can catch this stuff so quickly. Like you notice the minute you're out of alignment, you notice the minute you're buying that old pattern, you notice the minute you've just crossed a boundary that you meant to have in place, because you just really tuned into your body. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Kathy. Yeah, as I was sort of saying, it sounds like what you're landing on now is like, okay, the opportunity for me in this situation is to explore things like, what does it look like to be powerful here, or to be stepping into leadership, or to be, it almost, when you're talking about it, I just feel you, taking more responsibility for your own experience there rather than needing things outside of you to change for you to feel better there. Does that resonate?
Sorry, could you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think my mind keeps changing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about myself, but I just feel like something goes wrong. But at the same time, I know it might be the things that I need to adapt to.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I just feel like things could be better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time I feel like it's something I need to adapt to, is because recently there's a girl left the firm.
Mm-hmm.
And then she even told me that she decided to leave the firm like after 6 months she joined.
Mm-hmm.
But then from my, as an outsider, I just feel like she fit in the team so well. Like, mm-hmm. everyone in the team just likes her so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking, like, is it because of me, like, not being social enough, not being able to get along with others?
Mm-hmm.
But now I just feel like maybe, like, because she chose to leave, that must be because something happened, but, like, she didn't speak up. She just keeps getting along well with each other, mm-hmm. even if it seems like she quite enjoy where she is.
Right.
So I'm just thinking, can I do something different, like, without making people around me feel angry?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I do feel like my team trying to help me settle in, but at the same time, we just don't quite get along well with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's quite male-dominated, and even the girl who left, I feel like there's a strong masculine power in her words. And, you know, recently we had a chat on Friday with my team, and just like a casual chat, and like a guy just brings out that, oh, if she was there, she would just say, this is bloody amazing. And I heard this, I felt so weird. I'm like the way she speaks with that masculine power kind of pleased the man in my team.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Bloody amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something that I'll probably not be able to say.
Mm.
And then she usually communicate with me like, hey man. Like, she just hey man.
Yeah.
That kind of way of thinking.
Yeah.
And yeah, very powerful, like her very mm-hmm. powerful, very high impact words.
Mm-hmm.
And people just like that. Like, my team just like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I just feel so confused every time my team like reflect on like how great the memory is when she was still in my team. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what to do. I'm like, oh, am I in the right team? Like, is there anything else I can do instead of trying to be full of masculine, try to stay
positive? Yeah. There's a combination of things here. There's a combination of, it does feel and look like maybe long term, this isn't quite the right environment for you. It doesn't feel fully aligned, and that's like okay. You've also got quite a lot of like almost sort of a bit of comparison to her, like noticing how she showed up and that worked in the team, and she had more of that masculine approach and that worked well and she was so powerful in there. But I guess what I wanted to ask you is, in everything you've just shared there, do you feel powerful in your, does this make you feel powerful, all of this train of thinking that's going on?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Like, I think the reason I want to compare with her is because I want to make a contribution. I want to do well at work.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be valuable in a team. So I'm trying to figure out how can I achieve that.
Yeah, but that's a great question. How can I feel valuable and achieve it in my own way?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a more empowering question.
Yeah. And the more I think about it, the more I feel like, is there any requirement I should meet? Mm-hmm. Or like, is there like a model I could compare to? Mm-hmm. But like, the more I think about it, I just feel so sad. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm doing things to please others. But like, I don't know if I have other choice or not. And sometimes I feel like, oh, this painful experience is reasonable because I just have like a feeling that every time we want to break through, we have to experience something painful. Mm-hmm. Like maybe I should just, it's just because of me need to take more time to adapt to this situation, mm-hmm. not because I need to like change something. Mm-hmm. I need to speak up a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. And even if the team asks me, oh, how are you going? Like, I can only respond by saying, I think I'm getting there. I think I'm on the right track. But like, I can kind of think they expect me to say, I'm doing really well. Mm-hmm. I like the team, blah, blah, blah. But like, I just couldn't say that.
Yeah. And so that's you being your authentic self, which this is what you're sort of struggling with. You're like, here's how what I would want to express if I was just being authentically me, but here's how I think they think I should be. And so you've got this inner war with you. You know, it's so interesting because I actually find it like no accident that you're here working on beautiful feminine work, and you've been working on sort of challenging these parts of you that have been so work focused and so focused on achievement. And that's the exact environment you're in with your work. And you almost want to show up a little bit more in your feminine here. You don't want to have to be like, hey, mate and man and all that stuff. You just want to be you, right? But you're a feminine woman. And so it's a little bit challenging in this really masculine environment. But I want you to keep feeling into what would feel like the most authentic expression of me. If they ask me a question, what's my most authentic answer I can give them? Now, you might not, you know, it might not mean constantly coming to them with questions and worries and emotions and things like that. But if they ask you a question genuinely, like, yeah, I'm getting there, or it's a little bit challenging, but I'm getting there, that's a more authentic response than, yeah, I'm great, I'm doing well. Right? And I think that's what you're practicing here, is you're learning how to practice being more of your authentic self in an environment where it's pretty hard to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing a good job. But it might not be an environment that really supports a woman to be her full authentic self. That just might not be the environment that you're in, which is going to make it hard because you want to be that, right? But maybe this is just a chance to find some small ways to practice it, and then maybe you just know in your heart, you know, at some point I will leave this job because it's probably not aligned, but I'm here right now. So what lessons can I get from this, and how can I grow in myself while I'm here?
Yeah, and I think also like I'm still where I am just because there are like more things that life want me to be prepared, beautiful, like before that opportunity comes up.
Beautifully said. And yeah, with the next opportunity, I said this in the Facebook group, you're going to know really clearly now what you need. Maybe when you first came into this job, you didn't know any of this stuff about yourself. So you didn't know this is the type of environment you want. And that's now your next one, you're going to know so clearly what's important for you in a job.
Yeah. And then the thing is, like, for the past few months, I keep feeling like it's because I'm not good at getting along well with my team, until last week when I'm like doing like a small training with another girl who just joined, and she just feel like she even didn't get the joke that my team talk about.
Okay.
Like, because I keep telling myself, oh, it's because my English is not quite good enough. I just couldn't understand the sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. But like, hard on yourself.
Yeah,
I put it all your fault, aren't you? Yeah. So maybe it's as well being a little bit more gentle on yourself, a little bit more compassionate that you're in a challenging situation. And look, I can see, like, it's hard, yeah? There's a lot of emotion there. That's okay, yeah? But can you see that there's a few places that you want to, can you see there'd be, what would it look like to be a little bit more of your authentic self in that situation?
I don't know. I think that's something I really need to practice. But like, every time I think about it, I just want to cry. I don't know how can I deal with that.
Well, maybe we need to just cry it out for a little bit and let some of the emotion go. And once you release that emotion, there'll be some more clarity. It's almost like the emotion's blocking whatever your truth is. You can't feel it because there's too much emotion on top. So if you need to cry for a while because of all this pressure you've been putting yourself on, how hard you've been on yourself, how hard it's been for you to have to try to fit in there when it doesn't feel right, you're allowed to be upset and cry that out, and then you'll be able to hear more clearly what you truly want to do in this situation.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's something that I've been also been doing, like, for since I joined the firm. Yeah. I sometimes just cry it out, but like after I cry, I don't know what to do. Yeah.
When you ask your intuition, I mean, you posted this in the group, when you ask your intuition and your inner voice, what does that part of you tell you to do?
Like, the part of me just telling me maybe I should go back to study instead of working.
Okay.
But now I feel like, oh, maybe it's because the job I'm doing, the team I'm being with, gives me that sense of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, like Charlotte said, maybe if I change job, something similar will also happen. Mm-hmm. Like, how can I deal with that? Yeah, so this time I just want to do something different instead of escaping the situation.
Good one.
Yeah. And I know clearly that my team wants to help me as well, and they want to change something as well. Right. And they also realize that there are too many males in the team.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yep. And until you speak up and let them know that it is actually really hard being a woman in that environment, nothing's going to change. So you're right. The more that you just let people know what's going on and what you're finding hard, where you're needing more support, what's going on for you, they'll start to be like, okay, we might need to change some things here, because it's not that easy being a young woman coming into this team. Maybe part of your role is to help create a change in there, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I would also say that I think sometimes when you start digging into things like going through this course, it brings up stuff which makes it harder, but in the long run it actually makes it easier. But you're just kind of showing everything that's really not working, and it's shining a massive light on it. So you should be really proud of yourself, the work that you are doing, and that you're actually doing this, because I don't know very much about this colleague of yours, but it sounds a bit like she doesn't really know maybe who she is underneath, so therefore she's using this big masculine structures to try and show who she is. And that's maybe why you're a bit surprised that she's left, because she's probably just has this false self top, but she doesn't really, she actually underneath finds it really difficult. But you don't know that. But that was just my hazard of a guess. But
yeah,
you don't know how other people feel. But I would just feel really proud of yourself for doing all of the work that you're doing, because you're doing amazing. Well,
yeah,
I've seen you've come such a long way.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel like maybe like I still need more time to make the final decision.
Yeah,
to be honest, sometimes I just feel like, oh, what if I just tell them? I don't want to continue. But like, at the same time, I feel like they invest the time on me. But like the help they give me is not that with quality.
It's okay to express to them, do you know what? I'm actually, sometimes I think about discontinuing because I am finding it hard here. And maybe letting them really know that, because the other girl didn't express that. She just left and no one knew. Everyone's like, what? We thought you were fine. You know, because she didn't express really what was going on. So maybe if they actually realize how hard it is for you, and I know that's hard because it shows maybe some weakness or some vulnerability, but until they realize how much things aren't working, they're not going to realize how much they have to change to keep you.
Yeah, and to be honest, I feel like my team, like, it probably sounds a bit like not right to say this, but I just feel like the people around me, I really want to be in a place where I can get inspired, yeah, where I can find like a model I admire. I want to be that person. Mm-hmm. But like right now the job, even if the job is quite competitive, I also try so hard to get it. Mm-hmm. And this is even like a company I used to dream about when I was in uni, but now finally I get it. Like this is, yeah, I just feel like, oh, this is somewhere that not as the same as how they say at like the information session.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I also know that I also got so much things to learn, even if just being where I am now. But just right now I just need time to figure out how can I like express myself and actually convince others. Because sometimes even if you say how you feel, if it doesn't sound convincing, it won't work. It just makes it sound like, I don't know.
It's different if you talk about how you're feeling from your head or from your heart. Like, we feel you. I feel you so deeply in what you're saying, and it's very moving because it's really coming from your heart. So I think that's part of the work, is being able to really let them feel how much you need things to change or how much you need help or support, whatever it is. Maybe this is more about, you know, the changes you're going to go through. Maybe this organization won't change. We don't know. Maybe it's not about that, but maybe it's just ensuring that you're going through the changes that you need to go through as part of this experience. Yeah,
I think that can be also the case.
Yeah,
maybe it's not that bad. It's just because I'm not like quite new to the environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can be both.
Yeah. You're doing amazing work. And I think similar to what Charlotte said, you know, sometimes when we change within ourselves, it's pretty big then. It can have impact on things, you know, that we thought we once wanted, we don't want anymore. And, you know, all this stuff we've got to work through comes up to the surface. So just be really gentle with yourself, yeah?
Mm.
Remember, everything's temporary. Like I even, you know, years ago was doing jobs that I felt like I was going to do forever. And then, you know, I've never seen those people again. It's just one phase of your life. You won't be there forever.
Yeah, exactly. There's
plenty of other things coming for you in the future.
Yeah, because like the job I'm currently in is kind of like socially prestigious. Mm-hmm. And I have just so much pressure. Like even my parents told me, oh, you shouldn't leave that company, yeah, because it's really hard to get in. But now I just feel like once I get in, there's something else I wanted to do.
Well, I do think your heart's probably going to call you onto something else at some point. But now I think it's just making sure you're getting out of this experience what you're meant to get.
Yeah, exactly. And I think being where I am now also teach me so much.
Yes,
like
exactly.
Those self-discovering thing. Yeah.
Beautifully said.
And also with your guys. So yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your beautiful share, Kathy. Thank you for your vulnerability. So nice. All right. Let's just wrap up with our final little bit that I was going to talk about on some boundary stuff. So we talked about the communication stuff, and even like even to Kathy, what Kathy's going through as well, even when you come into a group like this and you use a safe space like our community to so deeply express your truth, that's enough. You're doing the work there, you know. Don't underestimate how much is shifting. Like, we can all see such a change in you, Kathy, and I can see it in so many other women in this group through the time that we've been together. So, you know, you're even practicing it so beautifully here. Maybe the work environment isn't the easiest place to do it, but you're doing it so well here. So, you know, sometimes it's easier to start with the places we feel safe rather than the hardest places, you know, which are sometimes work or romantic relationships. So with boundary stuff, you know, we talked about this around the heart stuff, that so many of us are such big givers, and particularly if we're giving ourselves, you know, almost to Charlotte's point as well, we give by wanting to appease and be nice and do what other people want to do. Like, we typically are very good at giving a lot of ourselves and a lot of our energy as women. But boundaries are so important to protect our energy and our time and to honor us really, really deeply. And, you know, this is just similar to what I said before, but to be able to begin to identify in your body what it feels like when you're needing a boundary, what it feels like where, oh, I'm just going to meet you, Kathy, what it feels like when a boundary has actually almost been overstepped or hasn't been kept in place or hasn't been respected, or where, like, I'm feeling into it in my body, how I know when I need to put in a boundary. I mean, the key emotions that arise for me, resentment's a big one. Something might feel draining, like I'm giving, but I'm not receiving back the, like, what I want in return, whether it's financially, whether it's through someone else's presence or energy. It might be, usually there's a boundary needed in when we're doing something for the wrong reason. So out of obligation, because we should be doing it, because we need to do it, because it makes someone else happy. The boundaries, it's just such a way that we protect our energy and become really discerning about our inner yes and no. We become really clear before, you know, I think we've talked about our inner yes and no, like really knowing what does it feel like in my body. When my body says, yes, I want to do this thing, this feels good and right, I want to give my time and energy to it. Or when our body says, no, this isn't feeling good, and I might have to disappoint someone or annoy someone, but I don't want to invest my time and energy in that. And I often talk about this thing called energy leaks, and I've taught it in my mastermind a bit about cleaning up energy leaks. And oh my gosh, like the amount of energy I would leak in my business just on the tiniest things, like leaving things unresolved or not having clarity around, I don't know, a project or a relationship, procrastinating on things, yeah, not tying up loose ends, constantly putting things in my calendar and then later resenting it, doing things out of obligation. These are just like, our energy is such a precious resource, and these are the ways that we leak and deplete our energy constantly. Even like, I don't know, in Kathy's situation where something in you might say, you know, I want to have this conversation, and then we say avoid having it. That's consuming energy. So I actually, I've often sat down and journaled about, and I think I've talked about it in my work before, but, you know, what at the moment feels heavy? If you were at actually write out, what right now feels heavy, draining, depleting out of things I'm giving my time and energy to? And Kathy might be like, I want my job, you know, but it might be small things. Like, sometimes I find it's a certain friendship. It's like, oh, every time I spend time with you, I feel like I come back feeling depleted. So I pay a lot of attention to what feels nourishing to me. Nourishing is a really good, when I feel nourished, it's a really good sign that what I've given my energy to is good for me. It feels like it's also given back to me at the same time. When I feel drained, depleted, resentful, empty, tired, Or like giving my energy to that is actually taking me away from something I really want to give my energy to, that's an indicator to me that I need a boundary. And so I'll very often do little check-ins and just be journaling, okay, what's feeling really light and nourishing and good right now? And what's feeling heavy and depleting and draining? And they're the places where we need to look at that and be like, okay, do I need to either let this go? Do I need to put in some type of boundary? Do I need to speak up here about what I want and need? Do I need to say no, whatever it is? And we can, or do I need to delegate that? Do I need to ask for help with that? Do I need to change the way I'm doing it? You can actually look at those things and figure out how you can manage your energy and your time around them and your boundaries around them. And sometimes you don't have to let them go altogether. Sometimes you just have to change something around them, and then it can completely shift the energy and it can feel more light and nourishing for you. And the thing I've often found with boundaries is like, I don't actually often realize I need a boundary in place until after the fact. So sometimes I will, and not, like this used to happen actually, like if, I don't know, a guy that wasn't very good for me would contact me, and at the time I'd feel to say yes. I'd check in with my body and I'm like, yeah, I feel to say yes to that. And it was weird, I wouldn't get an inner no, but then I'd follow through on it and I'd spend that time with that person, and then I'd be like, okay, really clear right now that that needs a boundary around it. Sometimes this has happened with work stuff. I've made commitments to work things, I put projects in my calendar, I've committed to doing things with people, and it's not until I've started the process that I'm like, oh no, this is not, I don't want to do this. And that then requires a difficult conversation, which is again speaking your truth, which is just very honestly. I mean, I remember I've made quite a few agreements with people that later I've gone back on, and it's usually just a very real expression of like, you know what, this was feeling really right. And as we've gone through the process, something's just not, it's just feeling out of alignment for me, or I'm realizing I don't have the time for it, or I'm realizing I'm overcommitted, or I'm realizing that this isn't quite where I want to put my energy right now. I'm really sorry, but I'm going to withdraw from this, or can we delay this, or can we push this back to later, or whatever it is. It's just those, that honest conversation, which isn't always easy to have. But I found, yeah, I've had quite a bit of that. It's not until sometimes after the fact that I get really clear whether something's right or wrong. And then from there, you sort of just have to have the courage to have that clarifying conversation. But once you do get clearer, you know, I think it's about becoming quite fierce and protective of your own energy, really valuing how you feel, valuing feeling good. And I know, like, I'm Kathy keeps coming into mind because I know we all find ourselves in those situations where not everything feels good all the time, and sometimes we do just have to honor commitments. You know, there was a lot of times I stayed in jobs. I remember getting a job similar to Kathy's situation. It was a job that my dad was like, oh, Con, that's the best job you could have got, I'm so proud of you. And he so wanted me to stay there, and I knew on my first day that I didn't want to be there. I knew as soon as I walked in, I was like, this job is wrong for me. But I'd signed a contract and I decided to stick it out, and I stuck it out for a year, and it was so hard and I hated every day of being there. But I learned a lot about myself, and I did a lot of work in that job around taking full responsibility for my emotional state. And regardless of what was happening, whether my boss was being a dickhead, because he was, or whether I had to, all these issues with my staff I was managing, but every day I would set an intention about how I wanted to feel. And I would be like, okay, today I'm going to feel calm. And I'm, no matter what happens around me, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to drink my herbal tea and listen to my podcast on my break and read a book in the sunshine while I eat my lunch, and you know, make myself a healthy, I don't know, snack, whatever it was that made me feel calm and grounded and happy. And I committed to that. And I actually developed such an ability to get in charge of my emotional state and feel good regardless of what was going on around me. That was one of the biggest learnings I got from that job, because that job was far, far from easy. And what was interesting as well, or, you know, your intention might be, I'm going to be in my power today, or I might be authentic today, or I want to feel, I just want to feel happy today. I'm going to do anything and everything I can to support myself to feel that way, regardless of what's happening around me. So that was a big lesson for me. Sometimes we get those tough situations to ask us to really get in our power around our emotional well-being and not have it based on things outside of us. So I completely relate to that. But I had to put boundaries in that. I had to speak up a lot to my boss around things that were challenging me in that job. I was difficult with him. I had to ask a lot for what I needed, even though he didn't like it. I think he was happy to see the back of me when I left, but I stuck it out for a year, even though it was really, really hard. So I completely relate to that. But now that I have a lot more, freedom of choice, and we have a lot of freedom of choice in our spare time too, you deserve to build and live a life that is filled with things that you love and that nourish you and that make you happy and that bring you joy. And the more that you keep reclaiming your power and remembering that you are the creator of your life experience and you get to choose what you put into your life, you get to choose what you give your energy to, you get to choose what you say yes and no to, eventually over time, and it might take a little bit of time, you get to design a life that just feels so, so good to you and is filled with what you love. But sometimes, we go through these challenging periods of getting the lessons and learnings at different points before we can come into our full creative power. So let me see if it's anything else. The other thing I was just going to say around saying no, sorry, my boyfriend's out there sneezing really loud. The other thing I was going to say about saying no, that used to be something I found really, really difficult, was to say no. And so what I practiced doing around that was I would check in with myself and I'd be like, okay, what's my truth? What do I want to say? And the answer might have been no. And I feel and hear that person have a reaction to it and not like the fact that I said no. And then I would sit with myself in the guilt. So a lot of guilt would come up for me when I would say no, when I would let people down, when I would not do what other people wanted me to do. And so I just learned how to actually, rather than hating the guilt so much that I would just override that and do whatever I could to make them happy, I learned how to sit with that feeling. And I would often say to myself, I'm like, this is really uncomfortable. I feel so guilty. I feel like a terrible person. I feel like I've let them down. I feel like they're not going to want to spend time with me anymore, whatever it is. And I would just be with that. And we've got to be able to be with the discomfort that comes sometimes of fully honoring ourselves. And I would be with it and I would just remind myself, I'm like, no, you made the choice that felt right for you. You really honored yourself and I'm proud of you for that. I know it's hard. And I know that that person's upset at you. And I know that's really uncomfortable. But you need to learn how to be with this discomfort if you're going to honor yourself. So just keep breathing into it. Maybe take a walk through it or whatever you need to do. But I just learned how to not avoid that discomfort, but actually just support myself through it. Because I promise you, it is a discomfort that comes up the more that you really honor yourself. Just like when you go, you know what? I'm going to get on Instagram Live or I'm going to do a post that makes me feel vulnerable. And then all the discomfort comes up. We've got to be able to sit with that and process that and not continue to avoid doing the things that make us feel uncomfortable. So that's all part of being in our power too, right? Not letting the fear of the discomfort or the repercussions or what might happen stop us from fully showing up the way that we authentically want to. But this is big work, so sometimes we have to, navigate a lot to be able to fully come into this space. That is my class for you today, loves. That is all I feel to share for now. We've gone for quite a little while. Let me cancel spotlight video and just open up. Is there any final thoughts or reflections from either of you as we complete the class, Kathy or Charlotte?
Oh, so I think it's just been really valuable, the whole thing about, I think what you just said just now about really thinking about how you're going to feel is something that I've really tried to do this year, well, a bit more, because it really helps me get into my feminine, out of my masculine, when I'm actually in how I'm feeling rather than just forcing something, which actually when you're forcing something, you're not being your authentic self. You're not in your power. So no, I just think it's really, and I really, that's really interesting about that no thing as well. I'll have to start sitting in that discomfort. But my old self was very much, let's not break up with this person. Painful. What are they going to say? I can't tell my parents this. But actually, that's really not very true. And that just saps your energy, like on an underlying level, every single day. Every single day that you're not living in your truth, you're sapping that energy out from under.
It's so depleting. And that's an energy leak. That is a massive way we're leaking energy. And so although you might have the short-term discomfort of having to sit in the guilt or the regret or the pain of hurting someone else, it actually will then free up and reclaim so much energy from that situation where you were denying your truth.
Also where we have a lack of integrity in a way, which is
exactly
means we've got a very unstable base, so therefore actually things that are really important to us, which can be completely unrelated, probably may not work as well or happen as well, but in authenticity somewhere else in your life.
Oh, exactly. And if you want to call in a partner that's in integrity, you know, it's important that you're in integrity. I mean, every relationship is a mirror of us too.
Yeah, no, it's been really helpful. I'm gonna have to these videos again.
I'm so glad that was supportive and valuable. And yeah, there's a lot in this work. So yeah, it'd be a good one to rewatch. Thank you, Charlotte. Kathy, how are you feeling?
I also feel this is a very valuable session, mm-hmm. and I really want to think more about being a creator of your life experience.
Yes.
I think that's something really powerful.
Yeah, exactly. It's so powerful. And even when you own it to the extent, Kathy, that you're creating everything. You're creating these people to play this role for you and be like this with you for a reason, because it's here to teach you something about yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I just don't want people to feel uncomfortable, because mm-hmm. sometimes I can see the response on their face. I'm just like, oh, I'm bringing something unhappy to them. I'm just being so harsh to myself. I'm so afraid of bringing anything uncomfortable to others.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, sometimes I still need to figure out, how can I, do things. Is there a way that, people around me and myself will feel both uncomfortable in the end? I don't know what the right decision to be.
I guess just the thing to look at is that in your attempt to not make them uncomfortable, look how much pain it's creating for you, right? So this is how we know things are out of balance. I'm attempting to keep other people happy, but I'm suffering behind the scenes as a result. That's not the truth. That's not your truth here, right? So they might get, this isn't about, it is about being mindful. Of course, you're in a work environment, but I think you've really got to look at the impact this is having on you and really explore what's going to set you free, what's going to make you happy, what's going to make you feel good in this environment, and putting yourself first a little bit more in this situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I have a feeling of I want to make some change in my organization. I don't just want to run away and then just escape everything. Yeah.
Excellent. Beautiful. I'm so proud of you. Well done. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, beautiful women. Beautiful to be here with you. I will, we have our final group coaching call this weekend, and then we have a bonus class. I'm just trying to find a date for it coming up in the next week or two. So I'll confirm that all with you. But thank you for being here with me tonight, beautiful women.
And the other, just very quickly, the other thing I think is so powerful is the fact that you choose your life every single minute of your life, whether you do it or you hate, you're still, believe it or not, choosing to walk in there every day. But I think the act of choosing takes back your power again, because the moment we're in that victim mode, I've got to go into this.
I love that you said that, because I often say that to people. I'm like, it is always a choice. So even if you are choosing to go into a job that doesn't light you up, own that as a choice, and then you won't feel like a victim in that situation. Mm.
It's right. Well, it's not necessarily what you're going to be doing forever, but it's what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
All around it.
I do also want to say something interesting. I remember asking this question to my higher guidance one day when something was bothering me, and I was like, when is this going to change? And then I heard this voice and it said, the situation will change when you decide that you deserve better. And I was like, ooh. And so sometimes it's a self-worth thing. Not always, but sometimes we get to a point where you're like, you know what? I deserve to be happy and I deserve to be in a job that I love and I deserve better than this. And when I got that, it was like things change the moment that you decide that you deserve better. I was like, oh, whoa, this is 100% on me now. This is up to me to decide. As soon as I want more, I can have it, but I have to decide. And so that's just the reclaiming of the power. It's like, okay, I might stay in this small apartment for a while and I'm going to claim that as a choice, and that's okay. I'll accept that. But if I want things to change, I have to decide that I deserve more and that I want more, and then I can go and have that.
Yeah, wow. I'm definitely going to do that with my business.
It was a big one. It was like a big slap in the face. I was like, oh, that's some guidance right to the core. All right, loves. I will let you go and enjoy your evening, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yeah. Bye-bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye.